We had that hymn at our induction in Portsmouth, and it's a hymn that needs a good congregation to sing it. So the opportunity was to sing it here today, and we are grateful to be here with you. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the fellowship in the gospel, and we are so privileged to know that people pray for us regularly from this church. And what an honor it is to meet so many people who say, we pray for you regularly. Heaven will reveal the nature and extent of how those prayers are answered. Thank you for the ongoing support and fellowship in the gospel. We're going to consider that great text that we read earlier, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Let me read these words of the eternal Son of God to you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What was the greatest invitation that you've ever received? Maybe an invitation to an important place or to meet with an important person. I wonder what that was for you. What was the greatest invitation that you wished you had and yet never came? When I was younger, I wished that I would be invited to play rugby for Wales. Invitation never came. I wished that my teammates would invite me to take the scoring pass to win the game to defeat a certain team playing in white. The invitation never came. I wished that the invitation would one day come from NASA, that I could fill the spare seat on a space rocket and be the 13th man who walked on the moon. The invitation never came. If I were to ask you tonight, what in your mind's eye would be the greatest invitation you could ever receive, I wonder what you would say. What's going through your mind right now when I've asked that question? If it is not the invitation that God gives to us to come to his Son to find life and peace, forgiveness and grace, then, dear friend, you have an idol. Because what you've just thought about is probably the most important thing that you desire you haven't got. And this evening we are going to see the greatest person given the greatest invitation to a great number of people who have great need. And that's our theme tonight, the invitation of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that the Savior can open his arms wide and invite people to come to him? Aren't you overwhelmed when you read Mark chapter 10? And after a busy day of ministry, the disciples stop the children coming to Jesus, and he rebukes them, and he opens his arms and gathers these little ones to himself. Isn't that precious? Or the same Savior who, when he passes by to begging blind men who are being told to be quiet by the crowds, goes to them and ministers to them, receives them, and shows grace to them. Isn't it wonderful to know that the King of eternal glory is also described as the friend of sinners? Do you see what that means for you tonight, dear friend? It means the Holy King of Kings is willing to be a friend of people like you and me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And yet, this Saviour opens his arms wide and invites people to come to him. So my first point, from Matthew 11, verse 28, the greatest invitation from the greatest person. Here we have Jesus speaking in the midst of opposition from his own people, from the Pharisees, in the midst of being despised and rejected and a man of sorrows. This Saviour in Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me. Who is it who says these words? This, friends, is the eternal Son of God, the maker of heaven and earth, second person of the divine Trinity, the one in whom all things consist and hold together, the one who sustains the universe by the word of his power, the one to whom we must say he must have preeminence in all things, the one whose glory outshines the sun in its noonday strength, the one who is the exact representation of God, the outshining of God's glory. It is this Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest person, who brings a great invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ opens his arms wide and he says, come, come to me. Don't stay as you are. Don't do nothing. Don't ignore. It's a clear call to respond, isn't it? Come. It's not a complex command. It's a simple, straightforward invitation. Come. Not go. Not go to a special place. Not go to do ritual and rule. Not to go to follow a religion. Do you know, in preparation, I was thinking about this, that religion, following the rules, following the rituals, sends more people to hell than atheism does. Did you agree with that? Aren't so many people deceived in our day and age? Maybe you are one of them tonight. Where if you tick the boxes, if you attend regularly enough, if you wear the right clothes, you'll be okay. Follow the rituals, follow the rules. Go and do religion. Friends, that is not what the Saviour says. He says, come. Simply, come to a great, powerful, mighty, sufficient, glorious Saviour who is able to save all who come to him. How do we come then? How are we to come this evening? We come empty-handed, sincerely, humbly, by faith. Just as I am, without one plea. You know, the wonderful thing about this Lord Jesus Christ is that he has done all that is required for people like us tonight to get right with God. He has finished the work. He has done all that is necessary. What an invitation, friends. What an invitation is found in these words tonight. When you look at who we are and who he is, this invitation is put into light. He is the King of Kings. He's the King of peace and joy and life and pardon. We are spiritually dead, and he is the resurrection and the life. We are sin sick, and he is the great doctor. We are weak, and he is our strength. We are thirsty, and he is the living water. We are spiritually hungry, and he is the bread of life. We are lost sheep, and he is the great, good, and chief shepherd. We are captives, and he is the great redeemer. We are shut out, and he is the door. We are lost, and he is the way. We are in the grip of lies, and he is the truth. We are restless, and he is the rest giver. We are burdened and weighed down, and he is the burden lifter. We need instruction. He is the great teacher. We are separated from God by our sins. He is the great bridge between our sin and God's holiness. This is the one who speaks this word of invitation. This is the believer's beloved Savior. Oh, how we should love to speak about him and sing about him and to follow him. The greatest invitation from the greatest person, friends. God's Son speaks these words. Dear Christian, can I speak to you tonight as well? The eternal Son of God continually invites you to come to him. Don't remain at a distance. Don't remain far off. Close in upon him continually, daily, hourly, moment by moment. The life and the joy and the peace, the hope that he gives, the fellowship, the delight of his company. Privilege to serve him and to delight in him, to communicate with him. What sort of husband would I be if I told you that last Wednesday morning I spoke to Tracy for 5 minutes and that was the last time I spoke to her? You wouldn't think very much of me if I told you that. It's not true, by the way. It's about communication and fellowship and relationship within a marriage and with our eternal, glorious husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear believer, come to the Savior. Come throughout this week with all its twists and turns, with our sin and with our failures, with our needs. Bring them to him. But unbeliever, you know in your heart of hearts that you are not right. You know that tonight perhaps you haven't yet personally responded to this greatest invitation that you can ever receive. Will you not come? Will you not come now, tonight, in faith? Will you not come? Now, of course, I'm well aware what Jesus says in verse 27 of our text. Jesus says we can come to the Father as the Father draws us to himself. Verse 27 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So in order for you to come tonight, God must be at work. God is divinely sovereign, and you are spiritually dead. But in the very next verse, the Savior leaves us with a divine responsibility to respond. In other words, God calls his people through the great invitation of coming to Christ. And so within two texts, you've got divine election and sovereignty. That's there. It's clearly taught in the Bible. But then you've got human responsibility. Come. Has God the Holy Spirit working in your heart tonight? Is there something inside that is saying, I must come to the Savior. I must trust in him. Will you come? Great invitation from the greatest person. My second point is the invitation is given to a great number with great needs. who are called to come by the great Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look again at verse 28. Come to me, who are to come all. So in some senses, the call is a general call to all. It's a personal invitation to needy sinners. Everyone, male or female, young or old, you and I. It's a personal invitation. But it's qualified further. Look again at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the word labor, it means hard, exhausting, intensive work and struggle. It's a bit like going to St. David's Shopping Centre, the new one, and doing a full week's shop and then having to walk to Cardiff Bay. And you are weighed down and burdened with the weight of the shopping. I remember when I was a student, I worked on a turkey farm for a few days. And that was exhausting work. By the end of the day, I could not physically lift up my arms. Such was the intensity of the labor. Totally exhausted. That's what the word means. Hard, exhausting, weighing down burdens. Like a great anchor round your neck. But how do we labor and become heavy laden? Well, as we saw this morning, it could be by life circumstances, by events, by family, by finance, by health. And it seems as if we face the same thing again and again, round and round, and these things tire us and pull us down and weigh us down. And the Saviour says, we are to come to him. And then we can be weighed down by conscience, weighed down by sin and by self, and weighed down by religion and rules. And if you look at the wider context of Matthew 11 and 12, you find Jesus in conflict with the Pharisees, the proud, the powerful people who focused on the outward rules and rituals and traditions. And they put these burdens on people. And these people are weighed down by the weight of ritual, which gives them no peace and no relief and no soul rest. That's the deceit and lie of religion. That's bondage. That is spiritual death. And that is why the most fervent, powerful words the Savior spoke were against the scribes and Pharisees. Just read Matthew 23. We don't have time to turn there this evening. How he condemns these hypocrites, that they take people away from the grace of God and the truth of the gospel found in him. Bow down, burdened, weighed down by events, circumstances, weighed down by conscience, weighed down by sin. Maybe feeling, even tonight, under a sense of conviction, God's hand is upon you. Oh, to God, that would be true for someone tonight, that you are sitting uneasy in your seat. The holiness of God is being impressed upon you. The purity of God's person, your own sin is being shown to you in a spiritual way. There's a burden on your back and you carry it. And the Savior says, come to me. It's a lovely passage in Pilgrim's Progress. You know the account well, don't you? Where Christian reads about the judgment of his home city and this burden on his back and it's weighing down upon him. Then he meets the evangelist and it's not until some time he actually gets to the cross and the burden is then removed. He's given new clothes and a scroll and he's free and he's rejoicing. And I think Spurgeon was wrong. He said Bunyan should have got Christian to the cross sooner. But if you read Grace Abounding, you see that for a long period of time, John Bunyan was under conviction of sin that weighed heavily upon him. He longed to find soul rest. And this went on for an extended period of time until he came to the rest in Christ. Is there someone like that tonight? Weighed down by conscience, knowing that you are not right with God. By faith, we come to the foot of the cross. We come empty-handed. We come needy, utterly dependent. We come trusting in a Savior who is able and willing to save all who will trust in Him. We come to Him. And what happens when we come? A great Savior with the greatest invitation gives a great invitation to a number of people with great needs. But what happens when we come? There's a great response and a great answer. That's my third point. Look again at verse 28. Look at the certainty of these words from the eternal Son of God, who will not and cannot lie. I will give you rest. We looked at the promises of God this morning, and they are certain and sure and never to be broken, made by the eternal Son of God. He cannot fail. He'll never deceive you. He is entirely trustworthy. He is the truth of God. What a privilege it is to stand here this evening and point to such a Savior and point you to such a Savior. He is the true rest giver. It's not found in anyone else. It's not found in family or possessions, not in the world, not what we can do, but what He has done. He is the Savior of all who will come to Him in faith. Can I ask again to make the question poignant, to be answered by you tonight? Have you come? And if not, why not tonight? Saviour in the gospel opens His arms wide. God the Holy Spirit draws those who will respond. There's a divine sovereignty and a human responsibility. You must come by faith to Him if you are to be saved. And the opportunity, the time to do that is right now, where you sit in your pew. And what happens when we do come? Verse 28, I will give you rest. What is the rest that the Savior gives? It is soul rest. Dear friend, you have a never-dying spiritual side to your humanity. It's called the soul. I remember, I think it was Murray McShane, if I'm wrong here, please someone correct me afterwards, that when he was in Dundee, he was walking to take worship on the Lord's Day, and he saw a young lad who was not going to worship. And Murray McShane turned to this young lad of 8 and said, Johnny, take care of your soul, my lad. Take care of your soul. And those words were used by the Holy Spirit to convict this young lad of his need of the Savior. And he was converted. Oh, friends, can I say the same thing to you tonight? Take care of your soul, the most important thing that you can do. And there is a rest for the soul that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a rest that is deep and significant and lasting and eternal. It's a rest that He alone gives, despite circumstance. I was reading the other day of a woman on a cruise liner who looked out the cabin window and saw in the distance huge, dark storm clouds on the horizon. She was worried about this, and she asked to see the captain, and she said, "Those storm clouds, are they going to affect us? Are we in for it?" The captain just laughed, and he said, "No, madam, that storm is now well behind us." And isn't it wonderful to point to a Saviour who endured the storm of God's wrath so that you and I, if we trust in him, do not need to experience the wrath of God with our sin. The storm is behind us in Christ. He gives soul rest. To rest in the Saviour, oh, it's too wonderful for words to describe. It's a soul rest that brings life and peace and satisfaction and a resting and an abiding in Christ that is so glorious that Scripture says that He, the King of Glory, dwells in our hearts. And so we come to Him in the midst of situation, of uncertainty, of test, worry and concern, and we experience a rest for our souls that we do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving we make our requests known to Him, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We aren't people of little faith who are anxious about tomorrow, but we bring these things to a great Saviour. Lord, here I am, resting in you. We begin each day maybe feeling burdened and concerned. Lord, we do not know how you may work this out, but we know that we can find rest in you and in your Son. It's powerful, it's dynamic, it's glorious. It's a rest that's worth having. Don't you see it tonight? Don't you see the Saviour? Don't you see that this is the greatest offer in the world? Eternal life, adoption, pardon, peace, life in this life and the life to come, and then to be with Christ, which is far better. The rest that He gives, soul rest. You know, after a long, hard week, how lovely it is to go into bed, put your head on the pillow, and have physical rest. What a blessing sleep is as we need it. But what a more glorious blessing soul rest is. Do you have it tonight? Do you have it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you? My fourth point, verse 29. Is this great invitation from a great Saviour to people of great need comes with a great challenge. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a great challenge, friends. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke is what's used to tie two oxen together so that they'll plow a field in a straight line. They're used to control, to submit, to serve. Do you see what the eternal Son of God is saying here? Do you see the challenge? Jesus is calling us in faith to submit to Him. To come to Him as Saviour, yes, but to bow before Him as Lord as well. And naturally, that is not what we want to do. We're all affected by sin, all creatures of the fall. We want to do our own thing. We want our own desires. We want our own ambitions fulfilled. And yet we take the yoke of the Saviour upon ourselves. We bow before Him. We submit to Him. We say in faith, by God's grace, that we surrender to Him and His will and purpose. And that means there will be places that we will not go because we take on the yoke of Christ. There will be words that we will not speak. There will be things we will not watch because we submit to the yoke of Christ. So we are to outwork the lordship of Christ in our lives. This is God's calling for you, dear child of God, this week. It means saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. It means dying to self and saying yes to the reign and rule of Christ in your life. We die daily to self and to sin. If you come to Christ, you bow before him as King, as Lord, and as Saviour. And what I've said is very challenging and very humbling. But look at the encouragements in our text. What does the Saviour say? He is gentle and lowly of heart. He's tender and kind and gracious. He's no hard taskmaster. We don't have time really to develop how lowly and how humble the Saviour was when he ministered in this world. But what a tender, compassionate Saviour. One who cares for his lambs and for his sheep, tenderly leads them along the way. He desires that we grow and flourish and that we honour him in our lives. We don't have time to really develop that, but he is tender and he is gracious. Verse 29, as we submit to his lordship, we learn of him, don't we? We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We add to our faith. We don't remain static. We grow. There's the hymn that says, I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Why do we have to find out? Because there is so much more of Christ to know. There are some who have followed the Saviour here in this church over 80 years. And if you were to speak to these people, you know who they are. Speak to them tonight. They will tell you, I know my Saviour, but there's more to know. He is so precious and glorious and wonderful and supreme and beautiful. Oh, I only know a small part of my Saviour, but I long to know him more, majestic and awesome, sovereign and supreme, prophet, priest and king, full of grace, ruling the universe for the sake of his people, mighty to save. Learn of him. Dear friends, do that this week. Learn of the Saviour. And then verse 30. Again, emphasizing the point that the Saviour's just made, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You who have trusted in the Saviour personally will know that this is true in an experiential way, don't you? You know this. Is his yoke hard and heavy? Is it a heavy burden to serve, to know, and to love him, to obey the Saviour? I know from a personal testimony, I've never woken up in the morning and said, oh no, I'm a minister of the gospel. I often wake up with a joy that I have the opportunity to tell people about this magnificent, glorious, wonderful Saviour. You might say, well, my life in this world is hard, it's a struggle. You may say that particular difficult providence is a burden, it weighs me down. You might say that that particular trial is hard and heavy. But I would know, I'm sure, that every believer would say, no, not my Saviour, not him. Following him, that's my joy and my passion. He is gracious and kind. His burden is easy and light. His yoke is easy and light. Not him, no. Oh, to follow him. That's what I long to do this week, to know and learn of him. So the greatest person gives the greatest invitation to a great number of people with great need. And it's a great challenge. But with any invitation, there is an RSVP. And my RSVP to you tonight, the end of this message, is R, repent. If you're not right with God, if you know tonight that your sin presses upon you and you're heading for hell, and you're being convicted of where you are, then you must repent. You must come to this holy God through his Son. And you must cry to him. The S, the RS, is straight away, right now, this evening. What excuse do you have? What's wrong with this invitation? The greatest invitation from the greatest person to all who will come. Will you come? RSV, it's value Jesus. I've tried to extol him. I've tried to point to him tonight. Wherever you are tonight, can I stir you to value and prize Jesus more than anything in the world, because he is glorious, supreme, and wonderful? RSVP. Pray for grace. Pray for grace to follow Christ. Pray for grace to submit to his burden. Pray for grace to come to him and continually come to a Savior who opens his arms wide and says, come to me. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we would pray over this message tonight that it would be used for the glory of your name. What a glorious Savior we have. What a wonderful gospel we proclaim. What a sufficiency there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. May just one person, even tonight, come to him through faith in repentance for the first time. Amen.